Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Andrew Shatkin Blog Talk Show on every weekday evening, Monday through Friday at 6:30, at 11 o'clock on Saturday and Sunday. And this is a show, it's a politically incorrect show. We're not interested in political rhetoric, we're not interested in media lies, media hype, or political correctness, or any kind of political rhetoric, which merely serves to turn our minds into jelly and make us unable to discern and think critically and correctly. I'm absolutely convinced of this, that to devote yourselves to TV and the media is to destroy your soul and your mind and the soul and mind of others who may listen to the what you repeat from the media, which is largely lies and falsehoods. Second of all, I am a Christian, and I'm not about to change that position. It has been the true faith for many, many people for 2,000 years and continues to attract people all over the world, including in China, which will soon be the largest Christian country, and in the Middle East and Iran. I personally know some Muslims in Iran that are becoming Christians. So Jesus cannot be stopped. He cannot be prevented. There is nothing the world can do with his man but give in eventually, since he is the Lord of all mankind and is the Savior and Redeemer of men and women throughout the world from beginning of time to the end. Next, I adhere to the ancient creeds of the Church, the Nicene Creed, the Apostles' Creed, and the Athanasian Creed, and I adhere to the full authority of Holy Scripture. The positions I take are not backward. They are not behind the times. They are the position taken of the historical Christian faith for many, many hundreds and thousands of years. There are still people who say it's foolishness, but that's their opinion. The fact of the matter is, every day all over the world, maybe not in the West, but in other places, Jesus has moved to other places and is convincing other people to follow him. Perhaps in the West, materialism and your new car and your new shoes have taken the place of any faith. I hope not. Second, I am a writer. I've written 10 books, five Christian and legal books, one book, Essays in the Christian Worldview, which has sold very well throughout the world and is sold to the entire University of California college system. And I also have sold to four Dutch universities and a couple of German universities. And it continues to sell very well, particularly in Australia and New Zealand. And it is bought by Harvard and University of Pennsylvania. And also I have written a book called The Essays in Faith, Culture, Politics, and Philosophy, which is told quite well, and also a book on the parables, which I interpret the 41 parables of the Gospels. And these parables are of great import and interest to be understood, and I posted my interpretations on social media and on my website. I also am gradually posting all the sayings of Christ in the four Gospels, my interpretations, and those of you who are interested in those interpretations can see them on my website and on social media, and also they can be seen on academia.edu, where many of them are uploaded by people from many countries. And also I run up two radio shows, a podcast show and a blog talk radio show. These shows have had a wide number of people, visitors to them, particularly from Muslim countries and from China, officially atheist, agnostic China. They have a Christian orientation, but I welcome all people and all opinions and all ideas. I reject no one. I'm concerned for everyone to hear them out, what they have to say. And so, as I say, my dear Muslim brothers and sisters, regularly visit these radio shows as well as my blogs, over almost 600 of them, and they regularly are uploaded and downloaded from academia.edu, where many of them are posted. I have published two very extensive journal articles, one on criminal procedure in the Syracuse Law Review, and the other on sex discrimination, published by Academicus, a Albanian scientific journal, which is presently publishing another one of my journal articles. These articles have had very wide distribution in many European and American university libraries, and they have been bought, certainly the Academicus article has been bought by the State Department, and the criminal procedure article in the Syracuse Law Review has been bought by the United States Supreme Court and the State Department. I'm presently scheduled to give an extensive lecture before 89 representatives of 89 countries on the area of law. I have a law degree, so I'm qualified to speak on that. And I'm presently preparing another article on our educational system, again to be by Academicus, a Albanian scientific journal. So I hope that I'm not pushing the envelope myself, merely introducing myself a bit. And tonight, this show talks about many things to many people. Sometimes I talk about English literature and literature in general, which I very much love and follow. It's one of the things of my treasures of my life, the great works of fiction and poetry and philosophy. To me, they're irreplaceable, and I value them and understand them and want to read them more and more as I have a chance to read them. They are indispensable for me, and my most indispensable writer is probably three of them. A. E. Housman, a classical scholar who wrote many wonderful lyric poems on the English countryside. E.M. Forster, who wrote two fantastic books. These books are Howards End and A Passage to India. These are English writers. They're the top flight of their time and the world. And finally, the most important one that I treasure the most is Milton, the epic poet who in Paradise Lost identified the critical point in human history of the fall of man into sin. It's a reality. Evil and sin are not something I'm going to say don't exist. I know they do exist, and I think they're a reality. And many people are guided throughout the world by satanic forces. I think it's fairly obvious, actually, when you take a look around you. If you don't want to look around you, you want to put on rose-colored glasses, that's fine. It isn't true, that's all. Now, I'd like to talk about chapter 4 in my book, Essays in Faith, Politics, Culture, and Philosophy, called Who Gets the Prize? Now, there's this thing, the Nobel Prize, a lot of people get it, but the question is, do they deserve it, number one, and do other people not get it who do deserve it? So let's take a look at some recent recipients of the Nobel Prize. I thought Barack Obama, I have nothing against him. He was a president. I respect his execution of that position. But he and Vice President Gore got the Nobel Prize. I'm not going to question the judgment of the Nobel Committee in its entitlement or worthiness of these individuals to have been given this gift with this great honor. Of course, you have to wonder that with six or nine billion people on the planet, why this prize should go to two prominent political figures. That why should they get this honor? And wouldn't there maybe be people not politically prominent who would be possibly more worthy of this honor but lack power and wealth? So we have the situation where Barack Obama and Al Gore, the former vice president, got the Nobel Prize, and one wonders as to their entitlement or worthiness to have been given, and to have been given this and accepted this great honor, other than their being politically prominent and having money and power. One may wonder that with 6 or 9 billion people on the planet, perhaps less prominent political people might have been considered for this honor, figures who might equally or be possibly more worthy of the honor but lack political power and wealth. I'm not saying that President Obama and Vice President Gore weren't entitled to it, but I think that possibly others not politically connected and not wealthy and not with political positions perhaps might be more worthy to get the prize. I read in the New York Times some time ago a very short story that really speaks to this matter of 10 committed Christians from the United States who had gone to Afghanistan to provide free medical care to those persons in very great poverty. Of course, as you well know, ladies and gentlemen, maybe or not all Christians measure up to concern for the poor, but these did. And they came from the United States and went to Afghanistan to provide free medical care. They were evangelical Christians to those persons in dire poverty. And they were murdered, killed, for the risk they took to provide this free medical care. And the secular press, in fact, hardly mentioned it. In fact, no one I know had very much to say about it. These people, these individuals, these committed Christians, went to Afghanistan, motivated by the eternal love and mercy of Jesus Christ, and his particular concern, which I share for the poverty-stricken in this world, to carry out his mission with respect to these deeply deprived persons in Afghanistan. So, they went to Afghanistan, motivated by the eternal love and mercy of Christ, particular concern for the poverty-stricken in the world, to carry out this mission with respect to these deeply poverty-stricken people in Afghanistan. They came for what many people would look down on in certain sections of society. Yes, we got a little bit disconnected, ladies and gentlemen. But as I say, they came from what a certain sector of society would look down on. They came from fundamentalist churches. And many people, as Hillary Clinton said, referred to them as deplorables or uneducated and having physical jobs, perhaps in factories or farmers, but they gave up their lives in sacrifice and love to others. They gave up something. They sacrificed their lives to provide these people medical care, and they came from the kinds of churches that in many parts of the country, in the East Coast and West Coast, they came from fundamentalist churches that that a certain elite, sophisticated group of people might see as with contempt or looked down upon. However, they gave up their lives to help those people, and their death passed them unrecognized. And they got no prize or honor. And that's the issue here. Who gets the prize? They got no prize or honor, and they gave up their lives in sacrifice and love to others and in love for Jesus. They passed unrecognized and gained no prize or honor. Unlike President Obama and our Vice President Gore, who were greatly honored, these people gave up their lives in love for others, and the entire world fails to recognize their very great sacrifice, which they did because of their deeply held faith that God gave his only begotten Son to die for all women, not because of their worth, but because of his love for all humanity, regardless of sex, race, and economic status. So, as I say, Barack Obama and Vice President Gore got the prize, but these people got no prize and gave up their lives to be murdered by people in Afghanistan. The entire world failed to recognize the entire incident and what they did because of their deeply held faith that God gave his only begotten son to die for all men and women because of his love for all humanity. So, that is why I call this little chapter, Who Gets the Prize? And the trick of it is that the media and the world in general had little to say about this event. And it had much to say about Barack Obama and Vice President Gore, politicians with a degree of wealth and power, and recognizes them and confers upon them prizes. So the world has little to say about the death of these people, but has a great deal to say about the politicians such as Barack Obama and Al Gore, who had sufficient wealth and power to gain recognition from that Nobel Prize Committee and conferred them upon them prizes. It gave no prize or thought to these Christian people that gave up their lives in love for others. So that's the trick of it, ladies and gentlemen. Who gets the prize, and why does that person get the prize? Let me talk about the Salvation Army, which for 100 years has gone into the most, over 150 years, has gone into the most economically deprived areas in the city and the world and given help and aid to the poorest of the poor. They continue to do so. Salvation Army gets no prize. Barack Obama gets a prize, Al Gore gets a prize, Salvation Army is ignored, despite their, for 150 years, going into the most deeply poverty-stricken areas in the city and the world, and giving help and aid to the poorest of the poor on behalf of Christ. They continue to do this, and once again, the secular press and media say nothing about the Salvation Army and its profound commitment to the love of Christ for all humanity. As I said, the media speaks much of political figures, rock stars, and in general people with material status in our society. Yes, the media has much to say about Barack Obama, about prominent political figures and rock stars, a lot to say about celebrities and rock stars, and people who have a lot of money in our society. The people whose picture you see on Time or People Magazine or Esquire. But unfortunately, the press and media have little to say of those Christians presently in their graves in Afghanistan. The media has nothing to say about those Christians lying in their graves in Afghanistan and certainly has never said anything positive about the Salvation Army and its work for the greatest poverty-stricken in the slums of this world. The media, the mainline media, the academia, Hollywood, celebrities, they say nothing about the Salvation Army, who go into the ghettos of this country and work for the poorest of the poor in these slums. Nothing is said about the Salvation Army or about these Christians presently lying, murdered, in their graves in Afghanistan. So one wonders who gets the prize. The media in the West, North America and Europe, and possibly in Asia and Africa, have little or nothing to say about these people I just mentioned. So there seems to be some kind of discontinuity in our social and political fabric, and only politicians get the prize. And those Christians, such as the Salvation Army, and those Christians who went to Afghanistan, who commit their lives to the most deprived of the world, are not spoken of. Nothing is said. There seems to be some disfigurement, in my opinion, or discontinuity in our society and political fabric, that Barack Obama and Al Gore get the prize, Christians who go into the ghetto, Salvation Army, and those ones who went to Afghanistan and who were murdered, nothing is said of them. The world, the press, and the media have nothing to say of their work and their deaths. I ask you, who should get the prize? What do you think? And you might ask also, where true greatness lies. You might consider that question, given the deaths of people in Afghanistan and given the sacrifice for many hundreds of years of the Salvation Army in the ghettos of this country. Again, I ask you, the world, the press, and the media have little or nothing to say of the work of these Christian people. So I ask you, who should get the prize, Barack Obama or the Christians dead in their graves in Afghanistan or the Salvation Army, which sacrifices itself in the cities of this country for the love of Christ? One can also ask, you might ask, who should get the prize in reality and ask where true greatness lies? Does it lie in People magazine? Does it lie in Esquire? Does it lie in the current fads? I don't think so. It lies in the lives of people who live out the love of Christ in their lives, whoever they may be, wherever they may be, and whatever they may be doing, and whatever their faith, if you will. That's my last talk on this issue. I hope you've enjoyed it. And if you want to know about this chapter, take a look at chapter 4 of my book, Who Gets the Prize? And you might find, I would think, you might find this book, Essays on Faith, Politics, Culture, and Philosophy, of some value, and chapter 4 of the book, Who Gets the Prize, that I have just spoken of. I've enjoyed speaking. I hope you've enjoyed it too.